All right, my friends, welcome back. Now let's, in our quest for ways of determining truth, I encountered these four guideposts many years ago. The author of them felt that there could be five, and so to my knowledge, they were not published. So I don't attach his name to them. And nor do I say I came up with them. I was taught them. Okay. But what are they? Creation metaphysics, helomorphic anthropology. Remember that anthropological study that Pius XI last episode talked about? Realistic epistemology. Sarah said that a few episodes ago. And objective ethics. So regardless of the topic, whether it's the vaccines, critical race theory, transgenderism, whatever it is, we can take it and we can look at it and how does it measure up to one of the four? And if, you know, it might get one or two, but the others not so much, then we know we have a problematic encounter. And for our purposes of conversation, sophists. So that would be the who we would put the indoctrinators, the propagandists. They use some aspects of truth, right, not come closer to God or to better themselves or humanity or relationship with them. It's one of control, servitude. Okay. Creation metaphysics is concerned with the general causes of being. That's why I started with Aquinas in episode one. It answers the question why things are the way they are, natural law. It is rooted in or compatible with purpose. So there's a telos, intention, and the divine mind. We aren't some random chaos, right, plasma. There was an order. The alternative
and purpose. What do you say? Purpose. There are three things. Purpose.
Intention.
Purpose, intention.
And the divine mind.
Right.
As opposed to a cosmic event or reductive materialism. And my friends, that isn't just something new. We're talking about pre-Socratic Greek concepts. That's why Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle were so pivotal, because they were countering these kind of notions before, right, them. But that's a digression. A cosmic event is one of random generation. Chaos producing the universe in whatever order one might find in it. Chaos produces chaos. Chaos does not produce order. Reductive materialism is a view of creation that reduces everything real to material. One reduces what one can know about to those only that can be measured. And that Occam's razor tends to do this.
Right.
Love, justice, we already mentioned. Truth, person, freedom, you can't measure those.
Right.
And so therefore we really can't know. And they're always only at the level of opinion. And Sarah mentioned that earlier, my truth and your truth.
Yep.
Helomorphic anthropology is the idea that the human being is an embodied soul. And so how we look at ourselves as man and woman determines then what we are responsible for and what we're going to do. So it's an embodied soul and body together. Helomorphic is from two Greek words, hele, which means matter, lumber, or stuff, and morphe, which means form, soul, essence, that which it is. Anthropology comes from the two Greek words, anthropos, man, and logos, study. So together, the words point to the study of man and are concerned with the question, what is man? How should I live? What should I do? One contrasting point of view is that man is only a body, mechanical robot. This philosophy is materialistic and is concerned with what gives me maximal pleasure, as Sarah pointed out. Now, because when I die, I die. Right? We'll just be composted. Right. Suffering has no meaning. There's Sarah talking to only what the church can provide. And there is no immortality. Live for today, for tomorrow we die. Final cause, telos, is discarded and ethics becomes very situational.
Right.
The other point of view to holomorphic anthropology, one shared by Gnostics in one form or another, that's why the names don't matter, it's the form or the what's going right. on, is that man as a subset is only a form, a thought, or a soul. The body is a shell or a prison to be discarded. The only thing that matters is our soul. This is a tempting ideology when our bodies or those of our loved ones are suffering. The incarnation of and ascension of Christ, in addition to the assumption and coronation of Our Lady, points to the value of our body, both now and when glorified. So I'll stop there and then we'll pick up the last two points.
Yeah. I don't know that I really have anything to comment on that. It's a lot to take in, you know, particularly given the fact that the vast majority of people are unfortunately coming into this discussion with an already neutered level of education. You know, particularly when we're speaking to people who have been educated in the past 20 years, the concept that you could educate a human person with a computer is, you know, we're seeing the disastrous effects of that, right? On the limitations of the imagination, on the fact that, I mean, even though the computer seems to be more ethereal, shall we say, it's 100% materialistic because it can only provide to you what it already knows. Like, there is no imagination there. And so consequently, everyone's scope of imagination is being diminished. One of the things where you really see this is in the concept of researching and writing a paper in a high school setting, right? Think back, you know, for those of us who are listening who are over 40 years old, 45 to 50 years old, it was a trip to the library where you would have had a card catalog that you would have gone through and you would have looked up books and you would have had to have been required to read at least 2/3 of each book that you took out to find the one money quote, right? And so there was a lot of serendipitous learning that was going on because the teachers could count on that. Like, they didn't have time to teach you all of the things that were in all of those books, but they thought that by having you do research that you would stumble onto a learning of your own, right? That would lead you down to other paths, like, oh, this is interesting, maybe I'll read more about that later kind of thing. But now the computer only brings an answer. It brings sentences rather than books. And the sentence is tailored to your desire. I look for this and then I find that. And then it's as though there is no more, you know? And I hate to keep using the word counterfeit, but we're taking the awesomeness of the human intellect, right, which is open to education. That is, you know, if the Latin root is true, like educere, right, to lead out of darkness. If that is, because I've heard many people say, well, that's not actually what it is. Okay, but it does mean to lead from somewhere. I mean, I don't know. And darkness seems a good thing, you know, from darkness to light. But even if it doesn't mean that per se, the human mind is being shrunk. Our ability to imagine things is being abridged because, you know, like, even think about music, right? The chord patterns and the the melody patterns and the harmonics that somebody like a Bach or a Beethoven or a Talis was able to infuse into their music has been diminished down to almost every pop song being based on a 3 or 4 chord pattern. Right? I mean, so, and we're sort of being desensitized to that because they're able to take those 4 little things and make them pleasing. They don't make us happy, but it's pleasant.
It is pleasant. Sounds like Epicurus.
Well, a bit, yes.
Yes, yes, that's right. All right, my friends. We are going to pick up with realistic epistemology and objective ethics in the next episode, God willing. Till then, fides et ratio.